when you make this word the final authority in your life, then you're on God's master plan towards the total success of your life, not only in this life, but in the world.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
How do you make important decisions in your life? Are your choices based on the proven Word of God or your own thoughts? Find out more with Kenneth Copeland and guest Dr. Creflo A. Dollar on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We're blessed again today to have Creflo Dollar on this broadcast. Praise the Lord. Would you join me in welcoming this man of God to this studio?
Thank you, sir.
Praise God, Creflo. What a time to be alive.
Yes, it is.
I'm really impressed with this being the, well, we're a chosen generation. We could have been born some other time. If you didn't have what it takes to make it in the most dangerous generation in the history of mankind, you'd have been born some other time. But God's called you to be here right now. You got the stuff, and He's got the stuff, and you get us together with Him, and man, things are happening in the blessing of the Lord, in the goodness of God, in the Word of God. You need to jump in it, get in it, praise God. Gloria said the sun will shine on anybody, get out in it, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Creflo, we've been talking about the steps that it takes to go from being totally in the curse of sickness, disease, poverty, spiritual death, physical death, all that whole the whole curse that's come on humankind, into walking and living in the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it, Scripture says. Now, you were talking about step one being words are the seeds that start everything. Whether you like it or not, this is a word-created and a word-controlled environment. You can't change that, but you can change the words under which you live. Mm-hmm. And when you make this word the final authority in your life, then you're on God's master plan towards the total success of your life, not only in this life, but in the world to come.
And you have to choose to believe
you
it.
You have to choose to believe it, and God will teach it to you. There's another way to look at this. This is spiritual food. Every living thing on the face of this earth, God created it to need nutrition for life. Everything. The plants, everything come from a seed and have to be nourished. Now, He's provided the nourishment, but He won't feed you unless you go to Him for that food. He's left you the choice. You have to have physical food. You have to have mental food. You certainly have to have spiritual food. The food has to be exactly like your body or it won't feed it. You can put stuff in your mouth just because of the way it tastes. But if it's not exactly like your body, if it's been contaminated or if it's been measured, this is real food. And in this country, you have to make sure it's organic because it'll have a bunch of chemicals in it to change it from being pure food. So to feed your body, you have to have pure mental food. You can feed anything in there you want to. But it won't feed your mind unless it's mental food. The spirit food is this word. It is exactly like your spirit. Your spirit is exactly like this. Religion, you can feed religion in there, but it won't feed your spirit. Your spirit will starve. So, other religions, how do you know? How can you tell Well, which one creates faith in God? If other religions, you read it, you get into it and all of that, and you practice it and everything and all that kind of thing, but there's still an emptiness in you, something wrong. It's not feeding your spirit. It's just, it looks like spiritual food, but it's contaminated. This is the real thing.
Yeah.
Jesus is the door to the real thing. Mm-hmm. I don't mind telling you right now. Go try it and see.
Yeah.
Get on your knees and pray to whatever God's out there. Pray to Buddha, pray to whatever, whoever, Mohammed, anybody you can think of, and see what kind of results you get. And then go to Jesus. Oh, Brother Copeland, how could you say that? That ain't hard. I know what the results will be. And once you go to Jesus, you won't ever go back to any of the other.
That's right. The seed, any kind of seed, has to grow a root first. It'll actually grow down in the realm of the unseen before it comes out to reveal all the fruit that you get out of that seed. And sometimes we've got to understand the power of patience and why it's so powerful in the life of believers, that when I'm patient about something, what I'm really doing is I'm remaining the same about the thing that I'm standing
on.
And let it grow. And when you put that collard green, we were talking about collards and cornbread the other day. When you put that collard green seed in the ground, you're going to have to remain patient and steady and the same about knowing that collards are coming out of the ground.
Now, Creflo, you can take that illustration right there.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what that seed is before you eat what it produces. Yes. You can plant nightshade out there just the same as you can plant the seeds of collard green.
Mm-hmm.
You can plant other plants out there mm-hmm. that will kill you deader than a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just any seed won't do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know what the seed is, because whatever comes up is going to be exactly what that seed was.
Mm-hmm. And when you make God's word the final authority, you're basing everything in life is going to be based on this. The greatest tragedy that happens every Sunday is when people walk out of a church and fail to initiate the plan or accept the invitation that was given that particular day.
Oh, yeah.
That's great strategy. And the thing that we really, really got to get a hold of is the fact that without the proper foundation, and that's what we've been talking about, in the book of Psalms 82, it really tells us what's going on right now. How come folks don't seem to be able to stay married? How come one out of every four women in this country have STD. What's going on in this time? What's happening? In Psalms 82, verse 5 says something here. He says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Here's what I want to show you. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. The Amplified says, all the foundations of the earth, the fundamental principles upon which rests the administration of justice, are shaking. And so if the foundations or if the fundamental principles are shaking, then we got to work on this foundation. We got to work on preaching the stuff that gave us the foundation that we have for success. A lot of people want the success part, but they ignore the foundation. And when you have a crack in that foundation,
it's
and
in
when,
trouble.
Yeah, when fundamental principles are shaken, when the morals are no longer there. In every empire in this world, the first thing that goes will be morality.
Yeah.
And if you don't deal with it, then, you know, you'll follow that same
pattern.
You're
on your way out.
To do that. Well, I have a covenant with Almighty God, and I believe I have a responsibility to fight for the morality of this nation. And when the principles are out of course, when fundamental things like prayer, fundamental things like a man and a woman staying together and raising kids, fundamental things, then that's where you go back to the word, because this will repair all that has been shaken in that foundation. This is what we got to get.
Creflo, I want to make something really clear. while we're right here on the air, I'll make this clear. When they change the, if they were to change the laws in this country to make it illegal to preach morality, then I'll violate the law. I will preach it anyway. Well, they'll put you in jail. Well, then I'll preach it in jail. Because that's all I do. I preach the word. I preach it in season. I preach it out. I preach it in jail. I preach it out of jail. That's all I do. It's all I'll ever do. But I will continue to do that. And the only way they can stop that is to kill me. Now, if they kill me, the other side of that is stunning.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get it on, brother. Glory to God. But now, when you come to that kind of decision, when you're standing on God's word like that, I don't believe they can change that law. Do you know what would happen in this country if they made it illegal to preach the Bible from the pulpit on certain subjects? I know what happened in your church. I know what happened in my church. I know what I'm going to preach next Sunday morning. I'm going to preach it exactly. I'm going to violate that law just as fast as I can violate. Otherwise, I am a law-abiding man. I believe I should keep the laws of the land. But that when the Scripture says that when you violate what is ordained of God, then the wrath of God is a result. I'm not going to violate it.
Well, a lot of people, you know, we like to talk about a lot of things, but we really don't want to talk about that other part of the anointing, that backhand of the anointing. And it's very clear in the Bible, when you touch anointed people, when you touch the anointing, then you get the other side that you don't want
to
see.
And I don't even have to officiate that.
Uh-uh.
I just pray and love them, but it's coming.
That's the harvest of it.
Yeah.
That's the harvest of it. And the thing that we, you know, somebody might be watching a broadcast and say, well, why are we just talking about the Bible, the Bible, the Bible? It's the foundation. It's the thing that
yes.
we've got to grab a hold of.
Yes,
it's the thing that repairs everything that's wrong. It's making yourself look in this Bible and say, look, I'm a husband and my marriage is not going right. Let me see what I need to do. Let me see. I need to love my wife even as Christ loved the church. I've been so busy being selfish. I'm not doing it. Let me go ahead and apply that
now,
to my life.
There are other religious books that tell a man that his wife won't obey him. Beat her. And if she still don't obey, kill her. That's fine. You can just kill her. Well, now, what's that going to get you if you do that?
Well, if I beat Taffy, it'll get me a whooping.
Yeah, I don't want any of that deal, man. But now, look, you've created a spontaneous chain of death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to just keep on because you're going to make somebody's brother mad mm-hmm. because of what you did. And now then, blah da 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 da. That's the devil's operation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are religious books, very big religion books, that will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Not this one.
Yeah.
No, this one doesn't tell you to do that.
Well, how do you know that this one's the right one? Go in the kitchen and cook. How do I know that I have the recipe for a chocolate cake? Go in the kitchen
see
and cook.
What it turns
see
out
what
to
it
be.
Turns out to be. Go and cook the
yeah,
baby.
Go cook you a chocolate cake and put a bunch of salt in there and see what. Nope, that was not the right recipe. This one has been proven over and over. And
yes,
look at the Jew. Every nation, every government on the face of the earth has attempted to wipe the Jew off of the face of the earth. And even when Jewish people, even when they were not trying to serve God, you still couldn't get them off the face of the earth. And any Jew anywhere in this earth that would obey this book prospered in spite of hell and everything anybody could do to them. They have proven. And the United States has proven that this is the foundation for success,
yeah.
Spirit, soul, body, financially, and in government. It has been proven to be so, has it not?
They use it in a court of law. You come up in the stand, you raise your right hand, and you put your hands on this Bible, and you say, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now, God in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, He took an oath, and he was looking around trying to see if he could find something greater to swear by. And he couldn't.
And he couldn't.
He could not greater than himself. So the Bible says he swore by himself. And this is the picture I got when I saw this. I saw God laying hands on himself, lifting his right hands up, and saying, I swear to bless you. I swear to multiply you exceedingly and to cause you to be exceedingly fruitful. I swear I'll do every word that's come out of my mouth and I'll not alter these promises.
Creflo, he not only raised his hand, put his hand on himself. He was standing in blood when he said it.
Yeah.
Willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the absolute impossibility of him changing. He swore it by an oath.
Now, this is where we get into asking ourselves. We talked about the two types of truth, two types of unbelief. And now there's the two types of faith. There is the Thomas faith,
yeah,
and there's the Abraham faith. Abraham believed God's word. Thomas believed what he could see. He believed his senses.
Right.
But Abraham didn't always believe God's word. So what did he do? How did he end up like in Romans chapter 4? How did he end up this way? Because we've been dancing around it and Romans chapter 4, verse 17, he says, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, I wonder how he got away from being weak in faith. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider that. You're going to always have options to consider this or that. He didn't consider that. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded.
There it is.
That what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, he wasn't always like this. He was not always like this. But let's go to Genesis 15 and watch God show up with an invitation. He wasn't like this. He wasn't a man that was fully persuaded. How did he start? What was the path that he took to get him to that place where he could be like what we just read in Romans? Well, in Genesis 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. Would you allow me, sir, to say after these things, an invitation came from the Lord?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Unto Abram in a vision saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. And I am your exceeding great reward. Now, notice I introduced himself there in Genesis 15. But look at Genesis 17, verse 1. He said, and when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. This is God showing up with an invitation. It wasn't Abraham going to God.
No, he came to Abraham.
He came to Abraham. He came to Abraham when Abraham did not believe. So what is God inviting him to do here? Look at this back in Genesis 15. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look now towards the heaven, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And here it is. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur and Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. I'm the one that brought you out. I came with the invitation to give you this. And look at verse 8. And he said, Lord, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit this land. Doesn't sound like the guy we just read about in Romans chapter 4. Doesn't sound like a guy who staggered not after the promise
of God. And look what he said, Creflo. He said, I don't have any seed.
Yeah.
See, he hadn't caught on yet. He didn't have any seed. He did, but he didn't know.
He didn't know.
Because God
did.
Already promised. But he didn't know that God's word was his seed.
Yeah. And God answered that question, and maybe we can get into this tomorrow, but God answered that question in verse 18. How do you know that you're going to inherit it? He said, the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river of Euphrates. God made a, how do I know that I'm going to get what you said? God made a covenant.
Yes, he did.
With Abram. Now, we're going to see this man go from staggering and unbelief to what we read in Romans chapter 4. And we're going to look at how God skillfully, with this invitation, not only got Abraham into this covenant, but how he will include all of us in that covenant and how it works today. Now, I used to think verses 9 through 17, I looked at that like, what in the world does that have to do with anything in verse 9? When he asked the question, how do I know I'm inherited? He said, take me the heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, the ram of 3 years old, the turtle dove and the young pigeon. Huh? Well, from Abram's mind, he understood what God was getting ready to do.
Yeah.
He had participated in covenant ceremonies in his day and time.
He knew.
He knew what was up.
Well, a whole world does, except the Western mind. We boiled it down to a piece of paper we can tear up, but not God.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't tear that up.
Yeah. He's got to figure out how to enter into a known, strong agreement with this man so this man would take his seed. So this man would take his word. So this man would look at this word, and without any shadow of a doubt, Abraham would look at it and know. Not just believe. Now, the covenant's going to take us way beyond believe. It's going to take us to, I know.
Yes, sir.
I know I'm healed.
You can't change me from
Yeah, I know I'm the righteousness of God. Yep. I know I have authority because I have a covenant. And then he goes on and he begins to talk about this ceremony and to show you the power of it. He said, he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not, and the fowls came down and the carcasses. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. He's out under the power. And lo, horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, started talking to him while Abram was out under the power. And he said, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land. He's making vows. He's making a vow to this man, almost like a marriage. He's making a vow to this guy, an agreement.
Marriage.
And then he said, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. And verse 17, and he came, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, look at that smoking furnace. Behold a smoking furnace and a burning lamp or a fiery torch. It's the same thing that Israel saw that guided them and led them.
Amen.
It was the very presence of God. What was it doing? It was passing between those two pieces.
Walking in that blood.
Walking in the blood.
Oh, we're out of time. Hallelujah. And then it goes through it all again in the book of Hebrews and brings us into that place. Creflo and I'll be back in just a moment.
Does it feel like your life is a mess? Is everything spinning around and you don't know what steps it will take to get you to the life your heart desires? In Dr. Creflo Dollar's new book, 8 Steps to Create the Life You Want, you'll learn proven practical advice to live out your destiny and step boldly in the direction of the life you really want. No matter what you'll ever think of or desire for your life, nothing compares to the overflowing beauty of the life that God is sculpting for you as you remain flexible and obedient in His hands. A better life doesn't just come from a change in circumstances. Learn powerful keys to help unlock your true potential. Find out how to overhaul your thinking, take charge of your emotions, establish healthy habits, develop godly character, embrace your destiny, and much more. No matter what decisions you made yesterday, today is a new day, and God is ready to take you to a life you really want. To request your copy of 8 Steps to Create the Life You Want, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This new book by Creflo A. Dollar, now specially priced at just $16, will show you the tools you need to live an abundant life full of confidence and peace. To request your book by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order today.
Now, where does it all start? Jesus said, I am the door. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what's interesting. He said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart knocking. He is giving you invitation to open the door of your heart. He's opened the door of his. He said, I am the door. You come in, I will move in with you. I will, by covenant, take charge of all of the cares. I'm the vine, you're the fruit. All I'm telling you to do is just hang on. I'll take care of everything. I am that I am. I am what? Everything you need. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life, do it right now. Don't put it off another second. He said here, that if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved or made sound in him. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So, pray this. Pray it out loud. O God in heaven, I believe Jesus is raised from the dead.
I believe Jesus is raised from the dead.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
I receive you.
I receive you.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the past.
The devil.
The devil.
And everything he stands for.
Everything he stands for.
You're my future, Jesus.
You're my future, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you prayed that with Creflo and me, but let us know. Use the information on your screen. I'll send you these 5 little books to get you started reading your Bible. There's no need in you struggling with it. That's that simple. That little brochure right there will teach you how to study your Bible. And you can just get right in here with the rest of us. Praise God. Get in the West Coast Believers Convention. It's going on right now. God bless your heart. We'll see you tomorrow. You go to the website. Get on the website, kcm.org. It's all right there. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar reminding you, Jesus is the Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes 5 books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure.